Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. 3 hours till kickoff.
Hi, this is Wendell Saylor. You can now stream every Triple M game of the NRL and AFL live on Listener. It's just confidence. Ad-lib football.
Oh, you can hear it from the box. Kick out.
He's just been kicked out. Download it now. L-I-S-T-N-R.
And we are underway.
Here we go.
This is where it's dangerous, Triple M.
Rocking the footy.
There's only one game on the east coast of Australia. It's the great game of rugby league.
It's been another wild year of rugby league. Breathtaking moments.
Gets away from another. Over the 40. Stepping. Weaving. Goodbye!
Spectacular scoring.
What a spectacular performance.
It's been a try scoring festival.
And plenty of...
Well!
What the hell was that?
My God! Where did that come from?
Well.
Wow!
After 192 games, the best three teams in the NRL were pretty clear.
The Bunnies!
The Melbourne Storm!
And the Penrith Panthers!
But when the music stopped, the Storm were left without a chair at the only party that matters.
They're off to the grand final!
Rugby League! That's why we love it!
The 2021 NRL Grand Final. For the first time ever, the biggest game of all comes to Queensland. And the Panthers and Bunnies are out to put on a show. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks the grand final.
Yes, indeed. Hello and welcome to Triple M's grand final special. What a treat to be with you for the next 2 hours as we head towards kickoff at 7:30. The Panthers taking on the Rabbitohs from Suncorp Stadium. Historic evening in prospect. Welcome wherever you may be listening to us, whether you're alone in a backyard, just rolling the sausages around by yourself. We welcome you. If you have your nose pressed up against the fence at Suncorp Stadium, have you had the tickets taken away at the last moment? We're doing it for you as well. The great news is that it is officially on. No new COVID cases in Queensland today. The game is happening in front of almost 40,000 fans. Brent Reed, Christian Welch, James Graham join me. Gentlemen, lovely to have your company. Really, that is the news of the day. It's happening.
Yeah, that's the big news. Obviously, the game's going ahead with 75% capacity, so 40,000 lucky people will see history unfold because it'll be the one and only time the grand final's played at outside Sydney at Suncorp Stadium. So special day for the game, and we got here. Thank God we got here.
Absolutely. Christian Welch, hello to you. Lovely to have your company. How are you feeling? Is it excited or just bitter and twisted?
Yeah, still a little bit bitter and twisted, but, you know, as a pure fan, I'm excited. It's going to be one hell of a game of these two sides, and, yeah, I just can't wait to watch it.
James?
Yeah, it's days like this where you miss playing and you miss being involved. It's the big games. It's not the little things that you miss, but this is what you're striving to do and what you're trying to achieve as a group, the common goal. And I'm like Christian says, I'm super excited as a casual fan, not having a stake in either team. I can't wait to see these two teams go after it today.
Can you just take us there for the moment? As I said, what are we, 3.5 hours out from kickoff in this grand final? Both of you have been in grand finals, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. How are you this far out, James, and what was going on in terms of getting ready for this big game?
Yeah, I guess you're trying to keep it as usual as possible, and as you have your rituals and your routines that you go through on any given game, whether it's a trial in the middle of the bush or it's a home game or away game. Obviously, the grand finals are a little bit different. Even just thinking back to my time at Canterbury, around about this time, we'd be sort of turning up to get the bus to ANZ Stadium. And it was what was usually a 40-minute journey took about an hour and a half because you just knew the streets of Belmore were going to be, just absolutely overflowing with blue and white people. The fans just trying to get to the bus was a task within itself. So but just trying to stay in your routine, do the normal things. A lot of things will come and go through your head. The game will come and go throughout these sort of stages. The nerves will start to kick in. I always sort of had certain music or certain comedies that I'd sort of try and watch in the build up to try and relax me and keep me focused on the job. And when the game does come into your mind, it's, you train to think positive thoughts. And just around about this time, it's really where the butterflies start kicking in, and almost you're thinking about time and you're going, well, in 6 hours, I'll know. In 6 hours' time, it'll all be over. So I've just got to go out there and enjoy it. And you don't want to waste time away, but you are just excited to get out there and just get that first touch or make that first tackle.
And Christian, of course, I think your second year at Melbourne, you had a losing grand final. Then, of course, you won last year. What was the routine for you?
Yeah, I just think at this time of the day, you want to be nice and relaxed. You don't want to play your grand final now. And I think in the past at the Storm, we've done quite emotional jersey presentations and spoke about what it would mean to us to win it. And it's really chewed us up a bit. So we've kind of made that adjustment. I'm sure the coaches and Wayne will just be preparing like another game. And as James said, it's all about your routine. Nothing changes. And if anything, your focus becomes a bit narrower for these bigger games. And I'm sure that's what, you know, two of the best coaches in the comp, they'll have their group, you know, aiming to go out and execute their game plan. And yeah, at the moment, just keep relaxed because, you know, turn your phone on airplane mode, turn it off, delete the apps, turn off your notifications and just kind of try and relax, because it'd be going off every mate, every teacher, every coach, you know, who's helped you get there would be sending you messages and lots of love. So, yeah.
I'm intrigued by your go-to movies and your go-to music, Jimmy. What did you listen to? What did you watch?
I always pretty much went to The Office.
The American version, the English version.
There's only Ricky one Gervais. Version,
yes.
Mate. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. There's
I'm
one version.
I'm with you.
Like, that's a silly question there.
That's what minus we specialize 1 point.
Yeah. No, it's something that I've seen before. So there's no surprises, no what's coming. Just, yeah, watch something, like something to just take my mind completely away from it.
Is that why you sometimes did
it?
That silly dance in terms of...
Exactly,
the,
yeah. Exactly. I'm all about that Office dance. So, yeah, or sometimes some songs that maybe take me back to yesteryear and just tune out and zone out. And yeah, it just became the routine, because any evening game kickoff is such a strange day. Like, yeah. I say, you never want to wish time away, but yeah. those game days when your routine is, you know, if you've got kids, you're up early, or you try an emphasis on try and have a sleep in, but it's just, it's a bizarre experience. Your whole day is focused around this event that's happening at sort of 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you've just got to sort of, yeah, get through the day. And it's, with this one in particular on grand final day, you know that it's the end game. It's what all the blood, the sweat, the tears, the moments, the hard work, the pre-seasons, the sacrifice, it's what it's all about. And you've got sort of 6 to 8 hours to kill and get through and take your mind off things. And like Christian said, you don't want to play the game, you know, at this point. So each player and each group will have different strategies on how to completely, you know, dislocate themselves from that game and stop those thoughts coming in and out of the head.
I know exactly what he's talking about, Tone, because I played a couple of grand finals for my esteemed soccer career.
What was your go-to music? Did you go for?
I'll tell you what, a good story about, I played in a grand final once in the State League in Queensland, and we had this crazy Spanish coach. His name was Juan Cutillas. He was a great coach. He coached Queensland for a while, actually. And we played the first fight. We played in the grand final. It was a draw at the end of the game, and I got a yellow card, got suspended for the replay, and so did a teammate of mine. And Juan basically said, if this was Europe, they'd burn down the stadium, and he got fined and all sorts of drama happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Just anyway, it's a little story from my grand final. Yes. My esteemed grand final career.
Exactly.
Anyway, they lost the replay without me. But
of course they did. Reedy, what about you? A music guy in terms of in your preparation this day?
Yeah, I'm a bit weird. I've got three different playlists.
Okay.
So I start with CW Chill, and then I go to CW, which is kind of a bit mid-tempo, and then I've got my CW gym where I put on probably about 20 minutes before kickoff. So it's all about, for me, relaxing the mind and body. I don't have coffee on a game day until about 20 minutes before warm-up. Yeah, so it's little routines. You know, everyone's different. Everyone's got their weird stuff. So it's just what works for you, I guess.
I like the way you've named the playlist after yourself, CW Chill, CW.
Yeah, I should have done something better.
Is it not country and western? It's actually Christian world. Yeah. All right, before we get some more specific grand final memories from the two of you, Reedy, I just have to clear something up, because my understanding is that you, in two different media forums, have changed your tip for this evening's grand final winner. Now, just
well, can't lose time.
Well, we can lose both times. So, what have you done?
Well, my theory is it's very hard to call. Mm-hmm. So, on one show I was on, I tipped Penrith, and on here yesterday, I tipped South. So I'm covered.
Or weak.
Well, you could say that. Yeah, that's another way of looking at it. Well, I think Penrith will win, though. But anyway, yeah. All right, we're going to cover my bases, you know.
We are going to dig deeply into both these sides, what gets them across the line. But just again, for these two guys who have been there, done that before. James, now you've had obviously many grand finals. You've lost some. In fact, you went out in a blaze of glory with St. Helens, winning a grand final after the siren, a try scored, then to win 8-4. A great moment for you.
Yeah, it really was. And similar to today's grand final, there was a lot of social backdrop to the season. Obviously, the COVID stories, myself retiring, another English legend in Sean O'Loughlin retiring, sort of you both come into that T junction of our career where it's, you know, you either got a winner or you got a loser. There is no next year. And it was, you know, for me personally, a crazy story. Travel, moving halfway around the world is always difficult. Doing it during a global pandemic is bizarre. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
And then the game itself, the story, if someone was to hand you a script and that was the script, you'd just say, like, come on, like, let's all right, we all like the American Hollywood ending, and it's, you can't just score a try in the last minute or on the hooter. You can't just kick the field goal. It's got to hit the post, down, bounce over the crossbar and all this, and then someone chases from nowhere and scores. But it did happen, and it was just sometimes sport gives us these moments, and that's why we love it, because it's better than any fiction. That sport can do that. It can capture the imagination and give the people these fantastic moments. And for me, I was very fortunate to be on the winning side that evening last year. And it's something that will stay with me for as long as I've got a working memory.
Yeah, it is the great unscripted drama sport, isn't it? And the those who will be writing it will be running onto the field in about 3.5 hours. Christian, for you, last year, obviously a great grand final memory for you.
Yeah, last year was it was an amazing day, it was an amazing year for us, for our group to be, you know, stuck up in Queensland and to have the season we had, and to, you know, send Cameron Smith out. And obviously I'd played in two losing grand finals before that, so I just remember being so desperate leading to that game to go out as a winner, and luckily we started the game really well and got out of the blocks quite well. So yeah, it was great memories last year, but so disappointing this year. We were having such a great regular season, and our first week of the finals was fantastic. Played a great game against Manly, and then just got outplayed last week by Penrith, and sadly not there today.
All right, the teams that are there, the Panthers are there, South Sydney are there. We're going to dig deep into who wins and why. Next, though, Panthers legend Roy Simmons will join us on Triple M's Grand Final special.
A Triple M NRL Classic Grand Final moment. 1991, Royce Simmons and the Panthers.
Meninga tried to tidy it up but couldn't get it back into the field of play. Short drop out by Canberra, and Evan
goes deep. Goyer gets it. Royce Simmons try. Yes, that's it. The grand final's gone.
Yes, a classic moment. The Panthers winning that grand final in 1991, and who better to talk about than the legend himself, two tries. Royce Simmons joins us right here, right now. G'day, Royce. Hey, Royce, you there?
No. Yeah, mate.
Good on you, mate. Yeah. Good on you, mate. 30 years ago, that Panthers glory, amazing. I guess this is the first time you've ever been asked about the grand final. How are you feeling on this day as the Panthers are about to go around again?
Oh, I'm feeling okay, mate. I'm not going to do any tackling or running. You know, I'm just going to have a few beers and watch the game. So I'm feeling pretty relaxed. So it's all good. The wife gets a bit excited. She throws herself on the floor and throws things at the telly and all that. But not too much with me. Just have another beer.
That is the way. I wish I was watching the grand final with you. Is brilliant.
You're dangerous. Royce, what about this team? What do you like about this Penrith team, the modern outfit?
Oh, well, I just like the way they sort of enjoy their footy. You know, I turn up over at, you know, at training or work. Like, I work over where obviously they do their training and everything. They turn up, they've got a a boom box. I didn't even know that was. It was used to call it a radio years ago, or a wireless. It was a wireless.
Yes.
Put on your shoulder anyway, and that boom, boom, bang, crack, and blokes are side, well, must be sidestepping. That's what I call it, but it's, apparently it's a dance now. And they're dancing, enjoying themselves, and then all of a sudden training's on and they're all serious and they get into it and train hard and work hard, and then it's finished. The next thing, boom, boom, bang again. They're dancing and carrying on. They really enjoy their footy and they have a good time, but they know when to, you know, they know when to get serious and when to switch on, and they've got that down pretty pat. So I just like the way they love what they do.
Hey, Royce, it's your old mate Jammer here. Good to hear nothing's changed.
How would I not know that?
Have you lost my number still? No, mate, just obviously talking about that Penrith, this team's sort of personality, that infectious attitude, they turn it on and off. Just thinking, want to get your thoughts on how you think they'll have reacted to that defeat against South Sydney a couple of weeks ago, and do you think that'll affect them mentally going into this game? This evening?
No, but I think they'll put that behind them. You know, I think the experience of last year, you know, being in the lead up to last year's grand final, I think they'll probably pick a few things up from that, and certainly they'll pick a lot up from the game, the experience of the game, and you know, and the after the game, I think you pick up a lot too, realising how much it hurts you, you know, to see the opposition do a lap of honour and so on and all them sort of things. So I think they pick up a lot there. And in between that time, a lot of them have got to play State of Origin or rep football of some sort. And then, you know, the victory last week over Melbourne, who beat them the previous year, I reckon that's a big, you know, winner for them, winning that, mate. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is, a lot of their players that carry the ball a long distance, as in the two front rowers, you know, each week they'll carry the ball, say, 150 metres each. Brian on the wing probably carries the ball 220, 30 metres each week. And Dylan Edwards at fullback probably carries the ball 230, 40 metres as well. So that all that concerns me, there's four leg injuries, two blokes who carry the ball a long way. So that's the only concern I've got. You know, otherwise I think they win the game and, you know, against a very good South side. But I think they win the game. But it does worry me that the blokes who do the dirty runs are all carrying some leg injuries.
Yeah, they have come around the long way and done it tough. Royce, we've spoken during the week with MG and Brandy, and you mentioned in the grand final last week, in 90, you got beaten by that Canberra side in the grand final. Now, Brandy and MG have said, and I think you've said it before, that in 1990, there was a celebration for that district and for your football team and club about making the grand final, and perhaps it was played before you got there.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, just Penrith finally after so many years breaking through and getting there, and you know, all of a sudden there's parades up the street, you know, and various open, you know, open training sessions and whatever, and it just all in, and you know, we go around and get beaten against.
Oh, Royce. Yeah, they're a little bit of trouble with Royce's phone and communication there. Maybe his wife
might have got
wife
excited, yeah. Excited.
Or he's not paying his bills anymore. He used to do that when he was coaching me in England. Always so asking to borrow
through,
my phone.
Talk us through that relationship then. You said, you know, Gemma here. So
yeah. No, Royce was my coach in England for a season. We had some great times at St. Helens, and it was just as I was leaving to come over to Australia, so he was trying to convince me to stay. So we had some interesting chats along the way.
I bet you did. I think we've got him back again now, Royce. Are you there?
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So was there also in that 1991 halftime? MG talks about, because it was your last game, and you were such an important figure in that club. You were desperate not to go out of the game with another grand final loss.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, a lot of people think, you know, winning the grand final starts 12 months earlier. Well, it doesn't. It starts, you know, way back when you get graded. You know, you try extremely hard to make your side, to get graded, and you get graded, and you try for so many years to make first grade, and you make first grade. And then, obviously, once you make first grade, obviously, you try to make, you know, some of the rep sides. But one of the big thing is to win a grand final. So, you know, talking for some people, and in my example, like me last year, like I tried for 12 years to win a grand final. So, you know, it's not something that just that pops up overnight, you know. So when you're given an opportunity and it's your last game, well, you know, you don't have too many other choices. So, you know, that's the way I sort of, you know, attacked the game and looked at the game.
Royce, most of these guys in this team wouldn't have been around when you won that comp in 91. Do they have an appreciation for what you guys accomplished and what, you know, that victory? Do they understand how significant it was, do you think?
Since Ivan come to the club, there's no doubt they have. When he first got to the club, and I don't know how many years ago that was, he made all the players go and study the history and who did this and who did that and all them sort of things and who was the first captain and who wasn't. And so they all studied that. And I come back over from with James over in St. Helens, and I come back and, you know, walked onto the scene, and I hadn't been there for a lot of years, and it was 23 or 4 years since I last played in the grand final, and I walked across and everyone ran across and shook me hand. So there you go, and Royce, welcome back to the club and all this. And I'm thinking, these blokes weren't even playing. You know, they weren't even born, alone playing. And so I couldn't work it out. But then as I got around a bit more, I got to know that they knew everything about the club. And when you've got a young club like the Panthers, who, you know, only been in the comps in 67, like we weren't like a St. George or a South Sydney who had big success over a lot of years. He's made them go out and learn the history and develop the history. And I thought it was just, you know, it was a good way for him to kick things off and get things, important things to know that, you know, who you're playing for and what you're playing for and what your city's all about and the history of the area. And, you know, I think it was something very important that Ivan first put into the club.
All right, well, they get the opportunity tonight to go and write their own page in that history. You are already a chapter in it. And Roy Simmons, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Cheers, boys. And James, can you send me your number, mate?
Yeah. Not over the air, though.
I don't want it over the air.
His people will talk to your people. Thanks, Roy Simmons. This is Triple M's Grand Final Special.
A Triple M NRL Classic Grand Final Moment. 1989 Canberra winner thriller.
Meninga's kicked it up. Chip and George has got support too. And they're pulled down just almost the almost. Is it? Try! Steve Jackson reached out and scored. What will win the premiership for the Canberra Raiders?
One of the classic grand final moments. What will play out before us this evening when the Rabbitohs take on the Panthers? Let's just give you a reminder of how the South Sydney Rabbitohs got to where they are.
The South Sydney Rabbitohs entered 2021 knowing it would be the last hurrah for Wayne Bennett. Coming off 3 straight prelim finals, hopes were high. So high, in fact, there were great expectations they'd win the season opener in Melbourne against the Storm. Those hopes were dashed in the opening half hour. Melbourne blasting a tardy Rabbitohs to open up an 18-0 lead. On came Benji Marshall and the tide turned. Not enough to prevent a loss, but enough to suggest there was still a lot to like about the Bunnies.
The champs are off and running in 2021.
A win in the wet against Manly was followed by a night of high emotion against the Roosters. The tricolours making a point of targeting new recruit Jai Arrow after he knocked out James Tedesco in last year's Origin series. Arrow revelled in the attention and the Roosters lost their composure. South led 18-0 at the break and the game was as good as over. There were crushing wins over Canterbury on Good Friday and Brisbane a week later, before their most dramatic game of the season. Outplayed by the Tigers, South trailed 14-6 in the second half. Cody Walker set up a try to tighten the margin, then Adam Reynolds nailed a two-point field goal to send it to Golden Point. But that's only when the drama began.
This could be history!
Yes,
it is history!
Wins against the Titans and the Raiders, and South had built a seven-game winning streak. But round nine was a disaster. A week in South Sydney were humbled by the Storm, 50-0. The Bunnies watching Josh Adokar cross their line a whopping six times. Adam Reynolds didn't play that night, but he was in the news, confirming he had signed a three-year deal with the Broncos.
The club hasn't had a playmaker of his class and ability for some time since Ben Hunt left here, so it's great news for the club.
The pending departure of South Sydney's favourite son brought fears the season would crumble, and their 56-12 humiliation to Penrith in late May didn't ease those fears. However, helped by a friendly draw in the middle of the season, another winning streak was built. The Rabbitohs' attacking machine unstoppable as they put 46 on the Broncos.
It's just majestic! And it's Latrell Mitchell!
30 in the first half against the Tigers, 46 against the Cowboys, 60 against the Warriors, 50 against the Dragons, 40 on Parramatta, and 36 on the Titans. The first time in South Sydney history they've averaged over 30 points a game, and it was being led by a ruthless Cody Walker.
Walker, again, oh, wow. Talk about knowing who to give it to.
Oh,
Alex Johnson now left side. It's the Cody Walker show.
Round 23 and a reality check against Penrith. Leading 12-0, they were mesmerised by the boot of Nathan Cleary. Final score, Panthers 25-12. Round 23 and a reality check against Penrith. Leading 12-0, they were then mesmerised by the boot of Nathan Cleary. Final score, Panthers 25-12. But third place was still locked up and the Rabbitohs would demolish the Roosters 54-12. But the cost was enormous.
Latrell should have been marched immediately last night. He shouldn't have come back on the field, as MG said, to rub salt into the wound at all. He should have been gone.
I agree with Gerds. I think that's him done now.
Latrell Mitchell suffering his second lengthy suspension of the year, his late shot on Joey Manu ending both their seasons. That was supposed to sound the death knell on the Rabbitohs' chances entering the finals, with Mitchell such a pivotal member of their unrelenting attack, especially with another match with Penrith on the horizon, a team that had beaten South 5 times in a row. So the Bunnies changed tack. They built their finals opener on defence and it paid big dividends.
And Tony Walker goes over right beside the post and the Rabbitohs strike back.
A week off was the reward before the prelim final against Manly, when normal service resumed. The first half attack was blistering, setting up a 36-16 win.
Murray on the Walker. Keeps it going left attack. 3-on-3. Oh, beautiful pass! Oh, what a pass! Blake Tapp has sent Alex Johnston over. South have their second.
With that, their run of preliminary final losses over. South Sydney, they played the first game of the season and they'll play the last. A proud club aiming for its 22nd premiership.
Yes, they have arrived at the big dance. Christian Welch, you've been there on the field with those blokes. You've seen it firsthand. What do they bring to the table?
Yeah, they're going to just, lots of intensity and urgency. And yeah, it's going to be one hell of a game.
What do you think, James? What are your first thoughts with this team? What's the, in terms of the focus? You've got Wayne Bennett, obviously, is one of the great storylines. Adam Reynolds is one of the great storylines. Benji Marshall is another potential great storyline. Where does it begin?
Yeah, there's a lot of subplots going on with the story of South Sydney, like there is with Penrith as well, and the father-son combination. But when you look at South, they are going to be pushed on those emotional buttons, but... from a playing point of view, I think it's a really interesting tactic that's worked really well for South Sydney, having arguably their two best middle forwards coming off the interchange bench. So the plan is clear in terms of starting, with all due respect to Nichols and Totola. They're out there to just do their job, do the dirty work, and then on come those two. And that's a really difficult thing to try and counteract if you're Penrith Panthers, because those opening exchanges... not normally points scored, so it's hard to gain an advantage on the scoreboard. So the talk will be starting well, and then for Souths, we're just going to stay in the fight. Not necessarily hang in there, but let's just make sure that it's a contest. Let's not get blown away. And that's what they did so well last time these two teams come up against each other. And then when you've got a guy like Tom Burgess coming on and Jai Arrow that brings so much energy and intensity in their carries, it's so difficult to stop. And that's what Souths are going to be looking to do in this evening's game. And I think, you know, when you, for me, Souths have really been blessed this season, because as much as the talk around, you know, when Latrell Mitchell got suspended, or they can't win it without Latrell, I think going back before that, I think the biggest question mark around South Sydney wasn't if they can't win it without Latrell, it's that they can't beat Melbourne.
Yeah,
that for me, it's like, I think most people would have looked at Souths can't win the comp because they won't be able to beat Melbourne. I think it's 2018, the last time they beat them.
And Wayne can't beat Craig
exactly.
either.
Exactly. The record between Bennett and Bellamy is heavily skewed in favour of Bellamy. But what's happened to have transpired with this playoff series is Souths have got someone to do their dirty work for them. And they've had Penrith Panthers beat the Melbourne Storm. So It's the stars are looking like they're going to align, and I think most people within rugby league circles would probably agree with that. They've needed that to happen, so it's set up for Souths to go and get this victory. It really, really has.
I want to, Christian. Can you, like, last year you blew them away early, right? So if you're South Sydney, do you think you're talking about starting really fast, putting a lot of pressure on Penrith, getting early points, and maybe the Demons? You know, it awakens the demons in their head after last year.
Yeah, I just think you want to stay away from that stranglehold style of footy that Penrith play. The, you know, Nathan Cleary's kicking game and you know, the field position battle. It's, they're so dominant at choking teams out and offering so few opportunities, and they're probably the best side at, you know, on a kick chase and the first two tackles, limiting meters. They're really aggressive with their line speed and controlling the play of the ball. So the back three for the Rabbitohs, it's a really big job for them. And Blake Taff at fullback, you know, he doesn't have to be the game breaker, but he needs to get a bit of momentum, because if they're coming off really slow play of the balls, they're just going to grind you down. So, as noted, Souths have got quite a bit of potency on the bench, but it's really important they get out to a good start, because I think if Penrith get up early, they're going to really choke you out.
In terms of getting up and getting in the face of those playmakers, we talked about Adam Reynolds, him being the story, but Cody Walker is really the gem there, isn't he?
Yeah, look. Reynolds is the kicking maestro. He'll grind you down, but Cody's the attacking. He's going to get you the points. So for me, it's the defensive pressure and the stranglehold that Penrith put you on, compared to South Sydney's attacking flair and their brilliance, even without Latrell Mitchell. You know, the potency of that side. They just need to get themselves enough opportunities where they can attack Penrith's try line, and they'll come away with points. They're a really potent side.
Yeah, I agree with Christian in terms of South Sydney's ability in attack, and we've witnessed that for most of the season. But what I think I've noticed these past couple of weeks is their intensity in defence and their attention to the detail in the opposition's back three carries. So they're actually, we talk a lot about post-contact meters. What South Sydney have made a real effort to do is have negative post-contact meters. So what they're doing to the opposition fullbacks and wingers, they did it against Penrith and against Manly so successfully, was sort of catch the opposition runner and drag them back, which is really, as a middle forward, when you're going back and you see your teammate being dragged back, even if it's just half a meter or a meter, it just makes such a dent in that momentum, which has become so key. So Souths will be looking to do that. And I think, you know, they rode their luck a little bit last time they played Penrith, and Penrith were pretty ill-disciplined, especially in that start. I'm really intrigued to see how Penrith start. It looked like they learned their lesson last time out, but against Melbourne, where they started like a house on fire, but they missed the jump last time they played Souths. But Souths will be looking for more of the same, and bringing that intensity in those first one, tackles one and tackles two in defence, and really make that extra effort for the Penrith middle forwards to get back and behind the ball.
Yeah, Oh, I think that's bang on there. I think that week one of finals, Brian Toe, no one's worked out how to handle him. And you can do your best. He's still going to have 200 metres. But the way Souths, as James highlighted, that, you know, guys like Kieran Murray are unbelievably strong, you know, for what they weigh, the ability to catch a defender and drive him back. They really did a number on Brian Toe, and he's kind of really important to that Penrith side of getting downfield. Their outside backs really start their sets and, you know, the first three, four tackles, you know, and because guys like James Fitch-Harris are working so hard in defence and playing long minutes, the back three for Penrith are so important. So that's going to be a really interesting contest to see if Penrith can adapt and how Brian Toe, you know, goes against this South defensive line.
And that's how Penrith work as well. They have that, I think, that agreement or that trust in each other, that they go, their middle forwards know they're going to bring that intensity and that line speed and real attitude in defence, knowing that they're not going to have to get behind the ball on plays one and two because Brian and Edwards and Crichton are going to take care of business getting them forward. But when you put all that effort in defence and the kick pressure and all that sort of stuff, when you're making your way back down the field, it's demoralising to see a guy like Brian get held up and dragged back, and then Edwards, and I think that was it's such a fine detail in how Souths attacked Penrith with their defence last time, but I expect to see more of the same from South Sydney this week. They did it against Manly as well, and it's a tactic that has really come to the forefront of their defensive attitude in this final series.
Christian, you were the bloke who put the heat on Nathan Cleary. You've become sort of renowned for that, right? Who's the bloke in the South team who's going to put the heat on Nathan Cleary?
Oh, I think probably Damien Cook, he'll be looking to come out and just let him know that he's coming. And but yeah, as I said, it's a responsibility of the whole side to limit the metres. So, you know, Nathan's kicking from his 40 instead of, you know, putting those high bombs up, you know, over the halfway and really pinning teams in the corner. So it's going to be a whole team effort. But yeah, there's Mark Nichols is a good friend of mine, and he's probably not renowned for his, you know, running over blokes or anything, but he's a real effort style player. So I expect him to come out early and put some pressure on Cleary.
I see Mark Nichols saying that Wayne Bennett, even before the season began, he got him aside and said that you are going to be in the first side I pick, and I value the kind of player you are. And that really set up his season, which has become an absolute leader to the point where he captained the side against St George in that last game. Wayne Bennett, what does he bring? Is it obviously knowing how to get the best out of each and every one of his players? What is the Wayne Bennett factor today?
Yeah, I think it is, Tony. He doesn't play mind games. He doesn't play games with people. He lets you know where you stand and what you've got to do to be in the team each week and what's going to get you out of the team each week. Should you not be performing to those standards? And we've seen it time and time again where he gets players like Mark Nichols, like Totola, playing their best ever football, the career best football, and it's just a simple, clear role, and it makes you want to go out and do that role and play for him. And those efforts that you don't really need the talent to do the effort stuff, but it takes it's a hard thing to do. And he'll recognize a guy like Mark Nichols and go, mate, this is your job. You got to do it. And Wayne's really, really big on that. Just do your job. We're not going to overcomplicate what the game is or what doing your job is. There'll be more to it than, hey, just go out there and do your job. It's going to be defined. But he's an expert at doing that, and we see it time and time again. The genius of Wayne Bennett and the teams that he gets to, looking at South Sydney, they were probably a top four team, but the journey that they've been on, like for him to get them into one win away from lifting the trophy is magnificent, and part of that is all about getting those players to go above and beyond their expectation.
And, of course, someone like Blake Taff, I think he's, the most inexperienced player to play in an NRL grand final?
Yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding for them, though, hasn't he? He's barely missed a beat since he's been in there and filling massive shoes. But, you know, Wayne has that ability to just give blokes confidence. I mean, Christian, you know, from the Origin series last year, what Wayne can do for a footy team, and, you know, you see that in Blake Taff. I mean, he made it pretty clear from the start that Blake Taff was going to be the fullback. Put some faith in him, and the kid rewarded him for that faith by standing up in September, which is, another, I guess, testament to what Wayne can do for footballers.
Yeah, I had egg on my face because I was asked when Latrell was suspended, what do you think we'd do? And I thought,
we all thought they were gone. Let's be honest.
We all thought they were gone, but I thought, oh, no, if you're going to you know, they had some kick diffusal issues in, I think, was it round 23 or round 22 when they played Penrith? And it was like, well, you've got to get the guy in there that can catch the ball under pressure. So I think, like most people, they thought they'd bring Alex Johnson into the fullback role and sort of rejig their back three a little bit. But, you know, Wayne's in the camp every day and he sees all the little things, and he saw a guy in Blake Taff that's obviously a very talented footballer, and, you know, put some belief around him and just said, you're my man. You're my fullback for this final series. And, you know, a lot of us thought he was playing a bit of ducks and drakes and a bit of guesswork, but he stayed true to his word. And, you know, Blake Taff could become, you know, the most inexperienced player ever to win a grand final.
Yeah, and we'll know in just a few hours' time. It all sets up so beautifully. We'll go deep in detail with the Panthers in the next hour on Triple M's grand final.
A Triple M NRL classic grand final moment. 1980. Steve Guerin, Canterbury Bulldogs.
Grant Hughes, Brent will inject himself. The kick and chase situation. It's Guerin.
Voices of Rex Mossop. This is Triple M's Grand Final Special. Brent Reed, James Graham, Christian Welsh. My name is Tony Squires. Lovely to have your company. Another hour before we begin our next preview. Dan Ganane's voice, of course, will take you through to 7:30 kickoff. The Panthers taking on the Rabbitohs. There's great stories surrounding the grand final, and then there's those that tend to pop their head up and get in the way. There's been a couple of those during grand final week. Reedy, what is the latest?
Well, it's been a pretty messy week, hasn't it? Look, I mean, the latest is that Canterbury prop off Hickey Ogden, who's actually off contract. He's only got a month left in his deal with Canterbury. He doesn't have a deal for next year. He got pulled over on Saturday night. I've just got the police statement in Waverley. And police searched the vehicle and found two plastic satchels of white powder on the 25-year-old, which was off a Hickey. And he's been issued with a field attendance notice for possession of a prohibited drug. So it's been a terrible week for the NRL in the lead up to obviously the grand final with obviously Reece Walsh and the Melbourne guys. He's in a bit of strife off Hickey.
All right, and as you said yesterday, the Melbourne guys, they're going to front up on Tuesday.
So the expectation is NRL will come down with sanctions for them.
Brandon
for
Smith, them, Cameron Munster and Chris Lewis. Yep.
And Reece Walsh on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The sanctions will come down Tuesday, and that the three Melbourne blokes will front up and I guess apologise for what's happened.
Christian Welch, it's obviously difficult for you at this time with those teammates. How did you feel? The difficult thing for it was, say, at the Dally M when all the story was breaking and your amazing coach, who did win Coach of the Year, was being asked questions about that, which must just have been crushing for him.
Yeah, it really put a dampener on, you know, a pretty special night for our coach and Justin Olam and Brandon, you know, being in the Team of the Year. So, you know, those guys, they know they've, you know, they've stuffed up. They've made a really poor decision, and you know they're going to face the responsibility because you know they are NRL players, but they're also role models in our community. And you know, like myself, last year I had my COVID breach. I made a really poor decision, and sadly a few of our teammates did as well. But I know they're really disappointed in themselves, and yeah.
James, how does it strike you? Well, we obviously know young guys and in various industries are probably doing similar things. But these guys, as Christian said, they're role models. And also the idea that there are cameras and things happening in the room where this is also happening, it beggars belief a little.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to condone the behaviour, but look, it's a strange one for me. The attitude towards social drugs, especially in the Western culture, is a strange one. Like, Eric Clapton has a song, Cocaine, that gets played on this very station. Yep. In the day, which is fine. No one bats an eyelid. We celebrate and make a movie about a guy that robbed people, went on drug benders, the Wolf of Wall Street, celebrate him. He comes out to Australia and does a speaking gig. He actually went to the Melbourne Storm, I believe. Like, so is your attitude no to drugs, or just know when sports people do it? Because we celebrate rock and roll stars for being party and drugs and all this sort of stuff. But then when it comes to NRL players, which a sport that attracts a certain personality type in terms of risk taking, and all that, and you know, people are going to throw in things like pressure and all that sort of stuff and end of season parties. But I don't know, it just seems like you can't have your cake and eat it. You've got to, you're either against it or, you know, your casual attitude towards it. It just seems strange that some people will flick between the two, that they'll go and spend their hard-earned money on a movie ticket to watch a movie that celebrates drug taking, and they laugh about the scene where he's falling out of a car. But then, you know, some footballers that, you know, partake in it at the end of season, it's like, oh, no, like, I just can't accept that. And, you know, when you talk about the people that are filming as well, this is what's really annoyed me, is that, for me, one of the greatest things about our game and the NRL is the access to players, and that players are just normal people, normal working class people that, you know, go into cafes and go into bars and restaurants and, you know, are happy to engage with the community. You know, all you need to do is be a member of a club. You go to Members Day and you get to have a photograph with the superstars. If you're a member of Penrith, you can go and have a picture with Nathan Cleary, like, and Luai and Brian Toto and Isaiah Yeo and all these great players. And if you're a member of Melbourne, you can go and see all the greats of Melbourne and have a photo with them for what, like couple of hundred bucks a year, maybe? What would a membership cost? I don't know. But you get that privilege to do that. And this isn't happening in other sports globally. I can't imagine how much money you would need to spend, or where you would need to associate, or where you'd need to hang around to see a Premiership footballer, to see an NFL star or an NBA star. They're just not accessible. And unfortunately, you've got to be very, very careful how you treat this relationship that we've got as the general public with the NRL players. Don't abuse it, because the days of, you know, with these social media and people filming things all the time, it's going to ruin that relationship if we don't treat it with the respect that it deserves. And again, not condoning what they've done, but for those people to film it is bang out of order as far as I'm concerned. And it jeopardizes the relationship that the public have with NRL players, because all that will end up happening is players will shy away from engaging with people. And, you know, you might see an NRL player in a bar or restaurant, but it'll be roped off, or they'll have the security with them, and you won't be able to get near them. So you got to treat this relationship, in my opinion, very, very carefully. On the same token, not condoning what they've done.
Can we just go back? But if you're not condoning, how can, with saying that musicians are treated in a different way, are you suggesting that we should treat sports people, who often we think about drugs, and that, you know, they're athletes, they're elite athletes, they, you know, their bodies are temples, all of those things, so they shouldn't be having any drugs. There are those drugs that obviously are performance enhancing, then there are those that aren't. How should we treat them? Should we just, as a society, decide that, well, you know what, out of competition, it's okay?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just saying that I don't like it when people are going to condone and come down hard on a sports person for doing the same thing that they would celebrate in other walks of life. Personally, I just find it, you know, it's...
Hypocritical?
Hypocritical is the exact word I was looking for.
Christian, there's been a leap to say that this reflects on the culture of Melbourne in some way. Like, how do you respond to that? Because your culture has been widely celebrated in rugby league as, you know, the prototype, right? So how do you respond to that?
Oh, look, I think it's probably more of a reflection of society. I think social drug use, you know, society, it's everywhere. And you're kidding yourself if, you know, young 20, 30-year-old males, you know, the percentage of those using drugs and females, like, it's rife in society, and obviously it's obviously in the NRL as well. So, look, I don't think it's obviously not a great look for Melbourne and the club, but yeah, to say, I suppose, that we've got a poor culture, I don't know, I'd probably beg to disagree. Mm.
What about you on the player? You're pretty heavily involved in the players' union, and there's been a bit of talk about maybe introducing hair testing, because hair testing would cover drug use for a 3-month period, right? Illicit drug use, because generally it's out of your system, I think, in 48 hours. Yeah, on a regulation test, a urine test. With hair testing, it's a 3-month period, and it's something that the NRL's talked about raising with the players' union.
I think the AFL have it. I don't think there's any punishment. I think it's more of
a welfare thing,
recording,
right?
Yeah.
And they had for a while, and a lot of guys had shaved heads.
Yeah, it's more to detect whether players might have an issue, and they can help them if they've got a problem. Yeah. It's not for sanctioning purposes. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I think the NRL has a pretty stringent drug code in comparison to AFL. I know in that all you have to say is I've got a mental health issue in the AFL and you're taken out of the testing pool. So I don't think there's an issue with our testing, and but you know, I think it's probably more stringent than our bigger code, the AFL.
And so they've outsourced the income. So they've outsourced the in-house testing as well. So it's no longer done by a club official. Yep. It's done by the Laverty Group.
But the great issue with it is it's only like when so Christian's on holidays now for 10 weeks. There's no testing in that 10-week period. So no rugby league players get tested in that 10-week period. That's
yeah, we can get tested, and ASADA have our whereabouts, so they can
but ASADA only the problem is ASADA during that period don't test you for illicit drugs, only for
it's an there's in competition and out of competition. Yes. So well, it would be the same as at training. So if you could be partying on the weekend and doing what you do, and then you know if ASADA came to training on a Monday, you wouldn't test positive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sadly, gents, I have to get to a break right now, but that conversation, I wish we could continue, and maybe we will later, because I don't know if we sold anything, but thank you so much for your for your honesty. Honestly, I believe that. Thank you. We're coming back very shortly, Triple M's Grand Final Special.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app, thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.